The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is AJ Brown, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is Josh Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Oh, yes, we're back. Here we are. Oh, my gosh. Look how big Trash Man is. I'm Alex Dunlap here with Trash Man. We have Lisa Ann. There we go. Lisa Ann's the star of the show here on the Lisa Ann Fantasy Show with Roster Watch. So pumped to be here today. Trash Man, Lisa, so good to see you guys. Restream sometimes doesn't work, but what always works is the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com, where if you follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, an expert quality draft is guaranteed. And we need you to go to rosterwatch.com and download the cheat sheet, because it's fantasy draft weekend. We finally made it back. Lisa, we're really doing it.
We're really doing it. Summer has flown by. We are here grinding, ready to get ready to do a million drafts and help everyone in the room here with their questions as well.
All right. So we are right now kind of wrapping up the rosterwatch.com training camp tour, because these teams, as they get out of their kind of fall camp period and they do their cut downs and start getting ready for actual game week stuff, they tell the national media, get the heck out of here. We don't want anybody seeing our practices. So we're kind of wrapping it up with the last of them. Trash Man this week has been to Indy. He's seen Indy, Arizona, Texans, and a little bit of Rams.
I want
to talk to you some about that. We're also going to go over some preseason news. There's a bunch of news that you're going to need to get caught up on if you've just kind of been on the periphery and, you know, reading things here and there about what's going on with the NFL. We're going to get you up to speed with what's happened this preseason, what it means for these players, what it means for their average draft positions. And we're going to show you how the ultimate draft cheat sheet at Roster Watch works by running a couple simulations using the websites that you'll be drafting on, like Yahoo and ESPN and Sleeper, CBS Sports, NFL.com, all those. So, Trash Man, let's start out with you. And let's also say, man, talking about the cheat sheet, Matt always tells us to, our producer Matt always tells us to say this. That thing gets updated like twice a day. It's like, Matt says, make sure to let people know that like you update it. And I'm just like, dude, I don't just update it. That thing's updated like twice a day. So, yeah, it's the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. Okay. Trash Man, what's most fresh on your mind is probably Houston, down there in Houston. What was your biggest takeaway?
Biggest takeaway? The Texans offensive line needs some work. Mm. You know, everyone I talked to somebody, other reporters who are covering the camp every day. They said that the O-line's better than it was last year, but Rams were getting pressure to CJ Stroud throughout their practice, not so much at first. In fact, the first play was a deep bomb to Stephon Diggs for a touchdown. But after that, as the day went on, as practice went on, they were getting more and more pressure on a CJ Stroud. So the Texans offensive line still has issues. That was the biggest takeaway from the offense for me.
Gosh, so it was that big, like, is, you know, like, you love like Tank Dell and like Stephon Diggs is there now. And I mean, they got all this, you know, like Joe Mixon. Was Joe Mixon finally back practicing?
Yeah.
Like, but your biggest takeaway was that the offensive line is so bad.
I mean, you know, when the Texans were practicing, I went to Texans practice the day before too, when the Rams weren't there, and you know, the players were getting off, they were making plays, you know, everybody looked great. Then we get to the 11 on 11s with the Rams. You know, and it started out fine, but it kind of devolved into, you know, a lot of broken plays for the Texans. That was the thing I came away with after watching those 11-on-11 drills between the Rams defense and the Texans offense.
So let me ask you then, Trash Man, how much does this affect how you feel about CJ Stroud, the potential for him to even have the time to set up plays to take advantage of Stephon Diggs?
Well, you know, and like I prefaced it by saying, you know, I talked to some of the other reporters who cover the Texans every day, and they do say that the line is better than last year. We know how CJ Stroud did last year. So, you know, if there's a silver lining that, you know, even with a bad offensive line, CJ Stroud, he gets the ball at his hands pretty quickly. And he's got quick players who can get open underneath short routes. So I'm not avoiding him in drafts just yet.
Trash man, your shirt is unbuttoned way too low. How low is that thing down to your belly button?
We don't know how low it goes.
I can't even tell. Golly, Trash. And here's the thing, Lisa Ann, that's probably actually fashionable. Isn't it? Like, Trash man's always like, I'm just like, Trash man, you don't look presentable. And he's like, dude, I got this shirt for free from my modeling shoot, but if I were to buy this story, it would cost $600. I'm like, $600. Is this another shirt that you got for free?
No. This is one I've had for a minute. No.
Look, it's hot there. You got to have it unbuttoned. You know, we talked about this off air, the heat right now, some of your hottest days. I'm going to rock with it. It looks like it has a little cotton linen blend, which would lead me to believe that it's very breathable. And exactly. He's feeling fly. He brought his best foot forward today for us, for all of this and for everyone.
You know, I just cut my hair. I just cut my hair all off. It's short as it's been in a long time. It's too hot out here.
Trash
can
man.
I interrupt with a question that somebody has? It's important for all of you. And it is about, we've got something here from the cheat sheet. So Boston Dave wants to know, can you explain why Jonathan Mingo is so high on the cheat sheet?
Jonathan Mingo? Is he even on mine? Maybe he's on Cody's on the standard and 0.5 PPR. So you'd have to ask him. You'd have to ask him about that. But I'm not even sure. Do I even have Mingo on the? I don't even have him on.
So this could be a clue here. Maybe somebody is not going to the proper format for what they need for their league, right? If you're saying this may be a standard, maybe they're in a PPR and it's making no sense, whatever this may be, there's a misunderstanding on the right.
I'll tell you this. I do run Sims on Cody's because Cody is the one who's in charge of it. It ultimately comes down to me to make sure, you know, as head of content, like I need to make sure it's running well and stuff. So I run his all the time. I've never once gotten Jonathan Mingo. And so I'm not sure exactly what that is. We'll run some Sims here in a second. And I promise you, I will eat my shoe live on air if Jonathan Mingo shows up.
Maybe he's just surprised that Mingo's even on this sheet at all.
Is this what I get for trying to help the people in the chat? Am I being trolled in the chat? Because I know my friend James Ruiz has a Josh Doxson question, which I know there'll be a lot of those, but here I am just trying to help out Boston Dave over here.
No, Cody's in the chat, so maybe he can answer. How about Boston Dave? If that is in the standard,
by the way,
Cody's in the chat, so he can just answer you over there. All right, I'm not talking anything about Jonathan Mingo. I'm done with it. as far as Trash Man, again, we're talking about the ultimate draft cheat sheet available at rosterwatch.com, the only tool that you'll need to dominate your drafts this year. Okay, Trash Man. How does Mixon look? Because I'm of two sets of mind here, or two kind of I have two kind of divergent thoughts in my mind. Okay, one is that Mixon to me last year I had him on a bunch of my fantasy teams and he led the league in end zone in green zone touches inside the 5 yard line. Right, he led the league in those and it felt like every time he was getting stacked up. And if you look at any of the advanced metrics, like Graham Barfield has the yards created or the forced missed tackles at PFF or all the advanced stuff, Mixon, it's not just him looking like he's not as good. It's like the advanced metrics say that he's not as good. And even down with so many of those red zone touches or those green zone touches last year, he wasn't converting touchdowns in the way that you would like. I worry about him. I think he's about to fall off a cliff like Le'Veon Bell did on one side of my brain. On the other side of my brain, like Bobby Slowick and the coaching staff down there, they talk about him like he's a true, real number one workhorse, and they don't like what Damian Pierce has done. And behind him, it's just like Jawar Jordan and these guys who are just, you know, kind of nobodies. They're really, whether we think he's good or not, they think he's good. So to you, does he look good?
Joe Mixon, he looked good on the field. He looked fast. If nothing else, he's going to get a ton of touch. He's going to get a lot of reception. He caught a lot of passes in the joint practice yesterday. Caught one for a touchdown. Caught another one for a big play down the middle. So I think that's kind of where we were thinking Pierce might, you know, gain some grounds in the passing game, but actually Mixon's catching a lot of those passes out of the backfield for the Texans. So I think even if he isn't maybe quite the inside runner that he used to be, he's going to be utilized in the passing game maybe more than he ever has.
Lisa, do you have a favorite between like guys like, say, Joe Mixon, and do you consider him on the same tier as somebody like a James Cook in Buffalo, or is he more like to you in a tier with maybe Aaron Jones, James Conner, that type of player? Like, are you in on Mixon this year just by reason of the general offense? I mean, do you like Houston? It feels like they're going to be in a scoring position a lot playing a dome. Where are you on him vis-a-vis some of those other guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't really put him next to like a James Conner right now. I'm going to say James Cook. I think that's a good kind of comparison. I like the Houston Texans offense. I'm one to believe that I've been trained to think that a quarterback rookie came in, played so well, is going to take a step back this season. I don't really want to believe that with him, with CJ Stroud. But with Damian Pierce not looking as good as he did 2 years ago, it's kind of a bummer because there was a moment where we thought Damian Pierce would be a James Conner, and he's not. So I think Joe Mixon there, the catching, I really like that. Saying that he's catching a lot there, that helps me want to put him on maybe one or two of my teams. But the offensive line thing does bother me. But again, CJ Stroud's going to steal some of those rushing yards too.
Trash man, what about talk to us about, so you were at Chicago, or wait, Indy and Arizona joint practices. What was your biggest takeaway from there from either team? Because we got to see Anthony Richardson a little bit. We got to see Anthony Richardson a little bit last night. He looked real good on the first drive, right? Dotted one to Adonai Mitchell for the touchdown there on that first drive. Then comes back and immediately throws what looked like a pretty bad pick six. I wasn't sure if it was Kylan Granson on that option route where there was there was clearly some kind of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. But I maybe a little bit, I don't know. Like, you could tell that he's still, obviously Anthony Richardson is still working out some of the kinks in his game, I would say. But I did see Andrew Cooper on Twitter wrote this earlier today, and he said, over the last 20 years, every QB that's played in 16 games and ran the ball 90 plus times has finished as a QB1 in fantasy football, except for one, which was Colin Kaepernick in 2014. So it's like, if we know that A. Rich is going to run, and if he does run, historically that said, that's going to be a quarterback one. What did he look like in practice? I thought we saw things in the game that were pretty good. I know I asked you what your number one takeaway was, but besides your number one takeaway, I'm very interested to know how Anthony Richardson just looked at practice.
Well, number one takeaway, it's a tale of two teams. Whereas the Texans offensive line looked very suspect, the Colts offensive line is arguably the best in the league, or, you know, it's amongst the best in the league. Richardson had all day to throw the ball against the Cardinals, and he was sharp. Michael Pittman came to the podium after the first practice that I saw, and he said, I mean, like, they didn't miss on a go route for the entire practice. He was hitting everybody, and I mean, I didn't see him make a mistake. You know, on the second day when there's like torrential rain, you know, quite a few balls dropped, but that wasn't all on Richardson. So he looked sharp, and that offensive line had a lot to do with it.
But is it the biggest take? But is Anthony Richardson the biggest takeaway, or was there something else between both teams, Cardinals and Indy, the whole time you were there?
I mean, the Cardinals—they didn't look great. I mean, they didn't look great against that Colts defense. I think. And 11 on 11s, I don't think the Cardinals scored at any point on 11 on 11s. Maybe the second team did at some point, but you know, the first team looked pretty lackluster. Although it was the second day that I was able to watch the Cardinals offense, and it was raining. Yeah. There's a lot of Trey McBride on their drives, but maybe that was an artifact of raining a lot too. He was the most targeted pass catcher in 11 on 11s for the Cardinals. But again, you know, it was raining, you know, pretty heavily all throughout practice.
All right. So Lisa, what do you think about, he mentioned Trey McBride, and I think it's an interesting, what do you think this year about, about tight ends, because there's kind of been a little bit of a changing of the guard at the position, where we have now for a while Sam Laporta was going off as tight end one, and as we're getting more casuals back into these drafts, Kelce is sort of taking over the mantle as tight end one. But it is not this chasm between Kelce and everybody else, right? There's this whole tier of guys that you consider to be among the elite. And those are Travis Kelce, Sam Laporta, Mark Andrews, and then sort of the kind of two newcomers or kind of newbies on the block, right, would be Trey McBride of the Cardinals and Dalton Kincaid of the Buffalo Bills. Now, with McBride, we did see down the stretch, once Zach Ertz got out of there and some targets freed up, we saw that McBride was an absolute PPR monster, right? But we can project forward with Dalton Kincaid, one of the most polished and awesome tight ends that we've seen come out of the NFL draft in many, many years, with Josh Allen and a very depleted wide receiver core, the most vacated targets of anybody. And now you have Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Curtis Samuel both hurt. Not that MVS is good, but it looks like Dalton Kincaid's going to be maybe the alpha of the passing offense. So I think that's why he's sort of being considered up here in this tier. What do you think though about taking tight ends with your premium picks, right? Because with these guys, we're talking about Kelce and Laporta are mostly kind of second, third round turn kind of guys. And then Mark Andrews, Trey McBride, Dalton Kincaid, those guys are all going off at more like the fourth, fifth round turn, but they're all going in a little cluster there together. Do you like the way that goes in your drafts, or what are you kind of thinking about the landscape of tight end this year?
You know, seeing that cluster you mentioned, that's when you know you've got to pivot if you're not really ready, right? But are you just going to look at Kincaid, who I think, yes, on one hand could have this incredible amount of opportunity. We already know injuries. We know no more Stephon Diggs. At the same time, can he handle this kind of workload? We've not seen this before. Will he be double covered? We just don't know. That concerns me. Kyler Murray, on the other hand, you're talking about Trey McBride, is such a wild card to me, right? Can be so incredibly electric for like four or five games, then just fall off. Concerns me as well. So no, I'd rather not in those rounds waste a pick when I know I could pick up a flyer much later, something I'm kind of happy with, and kind of play that tight end roulette if I have to, and not really worried about it. It's just so much real estate to take going that early. And Travis Kelce, I get it. You want him, go get him, because he's not going to be a player that I'll probably have on many teams. But I'm looking at Buffalo and thinking anything is possible now, because Josh Allen's going to want to prove how much better he is without Stephon Diggs.
I think that's spot on. I want to share my screen here. I'm not sure if our producer will let us do it right this instant, but I have it up over there. All right, so we're going to do a simulation here using. Okay, so I pulled up, I didn't want to do a Superflex one first, but that's the one that I pulled up. This is the one I set up for Superflex. And here's what I did, Lisa. I wanted to set it up at the turn in Superflex, because, and in Superflex, for those who might not know, that's just a league where one of your flex spots can be a quarterback. And typically you're going to want to play a quarterback in that flex spot, because quarterbacks score a ton of fantasy points, and they're more predictable fantasy points, right? So, it's a different kind of way to draft. What I'm doing here is a one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, one super flex, a defense and a kicker with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bench spots. This will be a kind of a home league super flex, drafting against the ESPN ADP, Sleeper, NFL.com, CBS Sports, RT Sports, My Fantasy League, all those, and the pre-draft rankings queues in there. And the reason I want to pick on the turn is if you're in a super flex draft, I want to show you that if you use the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com, or if you're just listening to this and wanting to get advice about how to handle this type of situation, you're going to be a little bit tilted whenever you get that 12th slot. Because what generally happens is quarterbacks go fast. They go to like the first, you know, 7, 8 picks off the board. And by the time you get to your pick at 12, you're thinking to yourself, man, am I really going to right now use my first round pick on Brock Purdy or something like this, right? Whenever everybody else got to use their first round picks on these awesome dudes like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all of this is a hard thing to get right. And this team, I mean, we're doing this live, but I trust the cheat sheet. to give us a good team, but this is a hard spot to pick from. And I'm going to show you that you can still get a really good team here. So at the 1-2 turn, it's telling us this. See, this is what you get for going a quarterback, is you get to start out with Tyreek Hill and Breece Hall, right, with your first two picks. After that, we get down to the next spot here, and looks like this thing's going a little bit running back heavy with Travis Etienne and Isaiah Pacheco. Lisa, we talked last week some about Isaiah Pacheco, and people can listen back on that. But I haven't heard your thoughts on Travis Etienne this year. They're saying that Tank Bigsby's kind of locked up that number two role. And for me, when I think about Tank Bigsby locking up the number two role, I think to myself that Tank Bigsby's not a very talented player. And that's actually probably kind of good news for Travis Etienne.
Agreed. I mean, that's really the spot right there. You're not worried about the shared workload going more than, you know, 60, 70% in the other direction. I like him this year. And I like the fact that there have been some missing pieces now that he's going to be taking up that space. So I like ETN. It's a good spot right there.
Trash man. I think what we do here on this next one is, so we're going to take Malik Nabers, and we'll talk about him when we, right after this mock, when we talk about just some of the very interesting preseason usage trends. Malik Nabers, though, is going absolutely ham for the Giants right now. I'm glad we've gotten so much of him, and we continue to. And then at the 512, the cheat sheet is giving us a choice. So there's three simple rules at the top of the cheat sheet. And right now, if we were just in our draft, Aaron Jones and Devontae Smith, after we took Malik Nabers, would be on the same row. So I can choose either one of these two guys. Since we already have three running backs, I'm going to stick with wide receiver here and feel really strong about my starting three wide receivers of Tyreek Hill, Malik Nabers, and Devontae Smith. There at the 512. We'll see what happens next year. We're good to take Tony Pollard, and a guy that we talked about last week whenever we were talking Chiefs, Lisa, and Rashee Rice. He's getting more and more expensive, but I don't care. I'm trying to sort of stay on board with it. Here's the thing, too. We're having now to start to worry about quarterbacks, right? It's like, when are we going to get – all right, so now we're going to get quarterbacks. And hopefully the way that this cheat sheet's built is that if you get in a spot like this, hopefully it's going to backfill us with a couple of these guys, right? We need at least two, but since they're going to be kind of bad – or not bad, but since we're kind of building a super team and we're getting our lower-rung quarterbacks, hopefully we'll get more than one. But we talked earlier about Dalton Kincaid, man. Getting him here at the 9-10 turn feels like a gift. So we'll take Baker Mayfield because we need our first quarterback. Then we'll take Dalton Kincaid. And hopefully, yes, this is exactly what we needed. So the cheat sheet knew we're going to take two more quarterbacks right here, Will Levis and Geno Smith. So we have three quarterbacks. We should be good unless we want to take a fourth here in Bo Nix, which I'm actually not against. We'll take Tyrone Tracy Jr., who just got back on the
field. Love Bo now.
We'll do. I mean, it's a trash man. Lisa, y'all have seen Bo Nix.
I saw Bo Nix. I told you about Bo.
Well, just like he had a pretty rough Senior Bowl, right? And all right, and then so for the final pick here, we'll take Darnell Mooney, Kirk Cousins number two. So, dude, this is a sick team we just put together. Even though it felt a little hairy there for a while, I trusted the cheat sheet. The quarterbacks are Baker Mayfield, Will Levis, and Geno Smith. The team is a super team. It's Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, Tyreek Hill, Malik Nabers, Dalton Kincaid, Isaiah Pacheco, Devontae Smith, with a bench of Tony Pollard, Rashee Rice, Tyrone Tracy, Darnell Mooney. Oh, and we have Bo Nix. Bo Nix. So we have four quarterbacks. So this team is sick. I'm going to auto-draft a kicker in defense and see what grade it gives me. I don't care what grade it gives me. It could give me a C, and it wouldn't matter to me. Okay, so an A.
Look at that.
It should be better than an A. Right. But that's the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. And that's a 12 team league. I'm not trying to show you a 10 team league or something like that. That's a 12 team snake draft. So we'll do a PPR draft here in a second. But I thought one thing that was interesting, we talked about Malik Nabers. I'd just be interested to hear what you think, Lisa. You're up there in New York City. What do people around there think about Nabers? Because, dude, Daniel Jones threw 18 passes last week, and two of them were very, very bad. The pick six and then the pick down in the end zone. But six of those went to Malik Nabers. And look, that can't hold up. I don't think he can't have a 33% target share. He can't have that all season. And if he does, he'll break fantasy, even if the Giants are terrible.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research,
she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take till about week 4 for defenses to really catch up with how they're going to properly work against Malik Nabers. And so I think Daniel Jones will take advantage of that as much as he can. But the talk here is really how exciting it is to have Malik Nabers and to also feel the missing gap with those Saquon Barkley and the uncertainty of Daniel Jones and his health. I mean, let's face it, he hasn't played a full season. This is a real concern. And I like the common talk about it on Hard Knocks. Just like, hey, we're talking about this honestly. Like, we have to look at this unemotionally. You haven't played a full season and these injuries start to pile up. So there's those concerns. And then with each injury, we know the player comes back 10% less secure when they're first back out there on the field and they're a little bit more favoring one thing, doing the other, and it just piles up. So that's a concern. I think Malik Nabers is going to be highly drafted and the expectations are going to be way higher than anything he could potentially produce, as I think things will simmer down for him mid-season. I'll draft him just because I want to watch him. I want to have him on one or two of my teams, right? But I do not like drafting a wide receiver or a tight end in New York when I'm relying on Daniel Jones.
No, I mean, I get it. And I think that some of those plays, Trash Man is just like, all right, so Trash Man is just, of course, Trash Man has to.
She takes the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
You feel the same?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like, and it's why I've been a little bit hesitant about Nabers. But like, he's tied to the quarterback he's tied to. And that matters.
That matters. Yeah, you can be as good as you want, but you're not throwing yourself the ball, man.
All right. Well, what about somebody who's not going to have to be catching the ball the whole time, and Devin Singletary? Because if you look at his usage whenever Daniel Jones was out there with the ones, I think he missed three snaps. I mean, now, Tyrone Tracy, who we took in that draft just now, was hurt last week. And so if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on, there's a sort of a battle going on for the number two in New York behind Devin Singletary. And that's happening between Tyrone Tracy, the the rookie. Where did you, out of Purdue, Shrine Bowler, and then Eric Gray, who I believe is he a second or third year? He was a senior bowler out of Oklahoma, but before that he was at Tennessee.
He was a senior bowl the same. I think it was 2 years ago, right?
I think this might be his third. He's either a second or third year guy. Eric Gray, really good pass catcher, and who's been producing in the preseason whenever Tyrone Tracy's been hurt. But I mean, they brought Singletary in for a reason. Can't miss. Mitch was there. He was saying that, dude, it looks like Motor's job to me. Does it matter to you, Trash Man? It was last year just a total flash in the pan for him down in Houston.
I mean, I don't think so. I think he's a serviceable running back. I mean, I think he fits with the Giants offense, what they're trying to do and what they're going to have to need to do, which is dump the ball off to a running back who can make things happen with his feet and who can catch the ball. And I think, you know, Singletary fits the bill. I don't think you need a grinder would necessarily work for that Giants offense, but I think Singletary fits.
All right. So staying in the NFC East, maybe we should talk about, I guess this isn't really preseason stuff, but it was a trade that occurred yesterday with Jahan Dotson, man. They're just like, they're kicking to the curb, dude. They straight gave up on a former first round pick, did the Commanders, trading him away in division to the Philadelphia Eagles. They got back. So what were the terms?
They got a fifth rounder next year and two others for the following year.
Two sevens. But the Eagles gave up a third, and then they got back a fifth, two sevenths or something like this. Right. But still, I mean, it's like, does this, I guess, can we call him a bust? I don't know. Like, I guess that's probably not for us to talk about. What's for us to talk about is what this means for the remaining players in the Washington Commanders. Does it make you like Terry McLaurin more? Does it maybe make you trash? Maybe this is a trash man question. Can you just hold your nose and draft like Diami Brown or Olamide Zaccheaus or, God forbid, Luke McCaffrey, or even more, God forbid, Cody's guy, who he says is the team leader down there on offense, Zach Ertz?
Yeah, you can, because no one else is going to be drafting them.
True.
I mean, like, you can take them late in your draft. They're not going to come at a great expense. So, yeah, go ahead. Take a chance.
No, don't do that. Don't draft any of these guys. Don't listen to the trash, man. Lisa, what do you think?
Hey, we get an extra bench position in our league now this year. We added that, you know.
Did that vote go through?
I'm guessing.
Okay. I'm not sure those guys.
Put a commander on it.
Those chicken littles in that league are going to give us an extra bench spot. Lisa, what about, does this do anything to you? Well, any thoughts you have on the commander side of this transaction is fine, but does this give you any thoughts about –
Definitely is going to open me up to even more affection for Scary Terry McLaurin. But I'm wondering, like, what was it? Was it something in the locker room that wasn't vibing? Or did they just feel they couldn't bring out the best in him? Because Dotson, that high draft pick, actually makes me feel like there's something there that hasn't been tapped into. We've seen players go to other teams, be put in a different coaching system, in a different wellness program, change their body chemistry a bit and shine. And I think Philly's a great home because they're not in a rush to use him all the time right now. They're stacked in the wide receiver room. The question is he going to make the cut, and what will he bring to the team when are we going to be using him? Who's going to draft him? Are you just going to be a wait and see kind of waiver wire thing? Like, let's leave him there. He does something, we'll pick him up. Like, I just would be, doesn't seem like he could bring you enough value week one to week five in your fantasy matchups.
Well, he's from Penn State. I wonder if he's like maybe from the area or is closer to home, maybe a reset kind of getting, you know what I mean? They clearly, you know, these teams regionally where they have their regional scouts with universities close by, they get an extra look at him. They get to know him better. Maybe they know something about the kind of guy he is. And
Dotson's from New Jersey.
Okay. So, I mean, look, I'm from Texas. I don't really know, like, but Lisa, that's close, right?
It's all close. We're considered the tri-state area, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania. We're all really connected.
Okay.
So
this doesn't worry you about like AJ Brown or Devontae Smith or anything. Like, the people have been vying for a third wide to be a third wide receiver option for the Eagles ever since they have had Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, and it's like it's been one of the most concentrated targets. It's target shares there is. It's kind of like how Waddle and Tyreek Hill have been when they're healthy. It's like good luck being a third wide receiver with these two guys. It's hard for their tight ends to really even get too much action. As good as Goddard is, people still think he's good, but like for fantasy, he hasn't really been good. I don't know if does it move the needle? Do you still believe in Jahan Dotson? Or is it just like still just full steam ahead with AJ Brown, Devontae Smith? No worries about any of this.
You know what? Maybe out of desperation, late round at a best ball, I'd throw Jahan Dotson up there. But what I love that he does for AJ Brown and Devonta Smith is potentially open up a defense, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's going to get one or two things here or there, but it's never going to be something you're going to sit and feel so disgusted having to put him in your lineup. So I advise people just not to do that. Wait, leave him on the waiver wire. Let's just get wait and see. Buy him again, you pick him up and you use him for a week.
Yeah, it's definitely a wait and see approach for sure.
He might make a couple garbage grab appearances throughout the season.
Yeah, you're gonna be pulling it out of that stinky, disgusting bag of trash of yours, trash man. It's like he might for sure. What are the chances that Dyami Brown has a better season this year than Jahan Dotson?
It seemed very real at this point.
I think it's 50-50, dude. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, two more things, and then we'll run a PPR mock and I guess answer any questions that you guys have or let you get back to your days. Steelers, Jalen Warren pulled a hamstring last week. So if you haven't been paying attention, you know, it's been the same thing this year. There's been a drumbeat for Jalen Warren in that just kind of timeshare with Najee Harris there for the Steelers. Mike Tomlin, though, came out this week and said he doesn't expect it to be anything too long term. I don't know exactly what that I don't know what that means. I don't think Tomlin's going to give us too much. I don't think he's a fan of giving us too much more info than that. Does this mean anything for you guys about Najee Harris? You may be more in on him. Do you think it doesn't matter? It's a kind of interesting situation because the Steelers right now, it's hard to even peg down what they're going to be doing at the quarterback position. Trash man, do you have any thoughts on
that? I haven't been bullish on any Steelers going into fantasy this season. I'm not excited about that offense in the slightest. I mean, you think about last season and you know how many games they ended up winning. They said they were somehow contenders. You know, they're in all these close games. They're not scoring a lot of points as it is. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Harris is going to get touches, but, you know, whether they're going to be close to scoring that often is up in the air. I'm not excited about any Steelers, so I'm staying away where I can.
Lisa, do you ever, is it like, all right, it's like fantasy rules by Lisa, right? Is it okay to just say, man, pick a couple teams every year and say like, I don't want any part of it. Like,
It is totally okay to feel lukewarm and not clutter up your team with question marks and what ifs. I mean, I like Najee's potential a lot more if it's going to be Russell Wilson throwing the ball, because I'm not concerned with him stealing as many of those yards. Justin Fields could go out there and be the number one running back on that team. And like, what week are you going to play? I think it's going to be very complex. And I think the one comfort we have with the Pittsburgh Steelers is Mike Tomlin. And we're looking at the coach. Okay, great. We know what he could do. We know they'll be right here, but that's not where you want to be in your fantasy leagues. I think they'll be there on the wire. I think you're going to wait and see. And I have picked teams yearly where I've been like, this is just a stay away, and maybe you regret it because some players popped off. But at the same time, if you are constantly going to be not wanting to put these players in your lineup and they're sitting on your bench and you're not utilizing your bench properly either, because now you have players on your bench that you're never playing. So I just don't want to play that game, and I think I'm pretty much out, though. I will probably, you know, I'm in 20 leagues, so like I will have some shares of Najee for sure. I probably will have Fields in a couple of more best balls. Like, I won't be doing much Russell Wilson. I just don't know how I feel about him there.
I mean, honestly, Freiermuth might be the best value on that team, on that roster, as far as
that's what Cody keeps saying. I mean, I see Cody in the chat. He was just at Steelers camp, and he's saying it's Russ by a long shot with Fields' goal line package. He says we know that. So if that's the case, that's the case, and you're hearing from Cody. He's been out at practice, but he was saying, like, if there's a Steeler, I'm taking his Pat Freiermuth. He says he's probably going to lead the team in targets. So it's like, I'm interested in Freiermuth, but that's about it. But I'm with Lisa about, and you know, this is kind of a trash man doctrine. Trash man likes to use those bottom of his roster spots as just nasty recycling bins. He just brings guys in and out. And Lisa, what you said, it's true. It's a fantasy trap of like the golden handcuffs sort of trap, where it's like somebody's just good enough to where you're like, man, if I drop this guy, somebody's going to pick him up off of waivers. But I'm never going to put him in my starting roster, but all the rest of it. Dude, you need to have those spots freed up to take shots on high upside dudes every single week on the waiver wire. Like, an open spot that you can use for waivers is a very valuable tool in fantasy. So I think that's an astute point that you bring up there. Trash man, you're a disgusting individual, but I do have to say that in putting together these cheat sheets, there are a few of your favorite players that are popping up on some of them. I'm trying to get to this one. I know you're a big Breece Hall guy, and this one is so this is a PPR. Let's get it up on the screen. We have, so this is PPR version 7.4 of the cheat sheet. It's what's up right now, the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. I randomly on this simulator got the seventh spot, and I was lucky to see Breece Hall fall here to the seventh. It feels kind of like a gift. Sometimes Bijan Robinson falls, and I like getting him there, but Breece Hall here feels really, really good. Again, what I've done is I've taken the ultimate draft cheat sheet and I've just put it into this draft simulator. So it will tell us with each pick as the simulation goes on what the cheat sheet will be telling us to do. So with the first pick here in this 12-team league, where we have one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, two flex, a defensive kicker, and 6 bench spots, drafting against all of the major sites. This is what the cheat sheet would tell you to do, and this is the kind of team that you're going to end up with whenever you use the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. Breece Hall is our pick here at the 107. All right, coming into the 206, Trash Man, I got to hear your thoughts on this. I know that you didn't see him that much in the rain, but Marvin Harrison Jr., this is technically a value on him. Are you maybe a little bit goosey after this training camp period? Are you willing to say, man, I didn't see that much of MHJ, but we do know that they're taking extra care of him and it was raining super hard and all the rest during that day of practice?
No, I'm willing to say that maybe it was just a weird day for the offense in that rain, you know, on the road. Yeah, he did catch a touchdown. I was in one-on-ones. Well, I mean, in one of their red zone packages, you know, that they were doing they were going with the Colts defense secondary. But yeah, so like I'm willing to say that it was just a weird day for
we just do so much work scouting these players and going to watch them. It's like I have a hard time believing this guy's not going to be very, very, very good. So all right, 307, we take Devon Achane. Lisa, we talked about it last week, right? It's like you get the chance to have Achane, and you can it's like you worry a little bit, but it's like for every bit of worry you have, it's like you're saying last week, you got like for every ounce of worry, man, you got like a pound of excitement with this dude, right? Like he could go bananas. It's giving me the choice here between Alvin Kamara and Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle a little bit banged up right now, but I don't care. And whenever I'm doing these simulations, I always like to kind of keep the balance. So I'd be interested. I'm going to take Jalen Waddle, but Are you back in on – are you in on Alvin Kamara at all this year, Lisa, just out of curiosity? I would be fine taking him here. The cheat sheet's giving me the choice. I'm only going Waddle to help balance out the roster and get more Dolphins on this thing. But
I think it's going to be rough sledding for New Orleans, so I would rather go Waddle right there. It's the offense that I think – it's the strength of that offense more than anything. I thought it was going to get a lot more after, you know, him coming back after that rest of being suspended for a couple of games. Like, all of those little things didn't add up to be much, but I'd be definitely happier in Miami.
I mean, I don't hate him just because of the shape of the rest of that running back room.
Dennis Allen hates Kendre Miller. He says, I don't know if he's ever going to learn the system because he can't ever get on the field. He's just, he's straight up taking.
But that's true. That's something really to think about and consider. You're right, because he hasn't been able to be out there at all yet, right, this season? Another injury after another injury?
No. He's like, it's so tilting, Lisa, because at first it was the MCL, then he came back and it's the meniscus. And then all last season, it was coming back from the meniscus. There was like, what's that type of injury? Where a compensation injury, where he was compensating for his meniscus with his hamstring, and then he busts his hamstring. And then now it's like the same hamstring. He's been hurt for like 2 years. It's like unbelievable, and he's really good, but they just, you know, DA hates him. And so I think it's good for Kamara. It's probably also good for Taysom Hill, who I just found out yesterday on Yahoo. He has tight end eligibility, which is a kind of an interesting thing there. We already talked about Malik Nabers. If you use the cheat sheet, you're going to get a good bit of Malik Nabers. And then at the 606, we're going to take Rashee Rice. So we start out with two running backs, four wide receivers here in this setup. Hopefully, I trust the cheat sheet. It's going to get us back balanced. Yep, that's what it does. So the 707, we take Tony Pollard here. And then a guy that I'm not sure that we've talked about him a lot, dude, but doesn't Javonte Williams at the 806 feel like a good value to you guys? Like, it feels like people are still acting like he's going to have a chance to lose his job. Like, Sean Payton talks about him like he's the lead back.
Yeah.
We talked about him in, you know, kind of fits and starts. And, like, yeah, I think it was just – a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of not much else going on in training camp to where we're having to question Javonte Williams. I think he's shown that he's the lead back there, and the coach has shown that he's the lead back there, more importantly. So, yeah, I think you're getting value on him there potentially.
This is an interesting one, and a guy that we don't get too much here on the PPR cheat sheet, but the 907, I mean, I'm kind of interested in Gus Edwards at this point. I mean, it looks like he's going to be the starter for the Chargers. Lisa, do you agree with the narrative that most people have coming out of this preseason, that based on their utilization of their wide receivers and some of the personnel that they have out there, and just based on the actual what we've seen on the field, that they're going to be a very run-heavy team, kind of like Harbaugh was back when he was at Michigan?
Yep. Agreed. Gus Edwards, will he make it through the entire season at a run-heavy team? Probably not. Be prepared for that, but definitely going to use him while he's out there.
And we're going to take him, and we'll take Jameson Williams. In the 10th round. Look at this, man. So Jalen Wright, this is interesting. You know, this isn't really by design here, guys, but since we're kind of backfilling here with some running back depth, since we only went two running backs and we kind of went super team at wide receiver – Jalen Wright, he's technically Achane's handcuff. So, I mean, we'll take him here and just lock up the Miami running back situation. And then it looks like this Brandon Cooks and the David Njoku stuff, this is actually a tie. So we can take David Njoku here and fill up our tight end slot. Brandon Cooks is going to fall to us here again. And I think for our 14th pick in the 14th round, it's going to give us – well, dude, it says to take Jared Goff, but since we have Waddle and Achane and all this,
you got to take Tua.
Look, we say don't break the rules and don't cheat and all this, but if you're down here and it's something like this where you can do it, take Tua and just, you know, you've already had some of your ducks here in this basket. It's not too many, but yeah, man, get that stack going on. So here's that team again. I followed the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper. The only time I broke it was I broke it by one player, right at the very end. That's okay if you want to do it. So this team is Tua, Breece Hall, Devon Achane, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jalen Waddle, David Njoku, Malik Nabers, and Rashee Rice. The bench is really strong with these running backs: Tony Pollard, Javonte Williams, Gus Edwards, Jameson Williams, Jalen Wright, and Brandon Cooks. So I'll auto draft a kicker in defense. If it doesn't give me a good grade, it doesn't give me a good grade. But that's a sick team. I'm going to war with it every single time. But it does give me an A+, 98 out of 100. So, and look at this, some 100s out of 100s. So that's a good grade. Anyway, it's the ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. Again, all I'm doing is following the three simple rules up there on the top of the sheet of paper. All right, Lisa, we're up against it. One final, it's National Draft Weekend, okay? So Trash Man, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from Lisa. One final tip. It can be about a player. It can be about a methodology. It can be about don't get drunk. It can be just like, what's one final bit of advice you want to give these people before they go into their fantasy drafts?
I'm going to give two because you mentioned one, so it wouldn't be original, but don't drink and draft. Wait till after your draft to drink. I am the person that buys everybody in my in-person draft drinks, though. So I am always trying to get everyone else to drink while I pay the bartender to give me mocktails the whole night. So I do play that game. But the second thing is simple. Download the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. Print it out. Take it with you. Write notes on it, not just crossing out players after they've been drafted, but I always write notes of players that someone really responded when I took that player, because now I know, okay, if I need something, this is my trade piece to go to Justin's team and say, hey, I remember in the draft you really wanted this player. Pay attention, take the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet with you, and take your notes.
All right, Trash Man.
For me, this is not just the draft, but throughout the season. You touched on it earlier. I always like to have one roster spot, one bench spot that I'm willing to let go of on a moment's notice. So make sure you have one spot, one position where you're just like, okay, I need somebody to add somebody from the waiver. I can drop this guy every week, you know?
So you're saying, so in order to do that at your draft, don't feel weird about taking a wild flyer on some guy at the very end. That's just a total upside dude that you find something out in week one and you don't mind just throwing him out, right? Make sure that you take one spot.
Oh, yeah, after you've done your draft, make sure you notice the one player, one position where you can do that, you know, and in the ensuing week.
All right. Well, Lisa Ann stole mine. So I'll just say, I'll say this, go to rosterwatch.com/Lisa, man. And I will second her thoughts, man. You cannot afford a draft without the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet at rosterwatch.com.